Hello and welcome to the Personnel Today Friday podcast. I'm Tara Craig and I'm joined by Kat Baker. Coming up, we hear how an increase in vacancies within the NHS has been blamed on poor workforce management. We hear how the impact of Muslim festival Ramadan on the workplace is serving as a timely reminder of the countdown to the Equality Bill in 2011. But first, the news. Councils could leave themselves open to discrimination claims if they ask employees to reveal their future plans, a legal firm has warned. Cherwell District Council has said it would like people planning to retire in the next 3 years to give it an indication of their intentions. While the council is hoping to avoid compulsory redundancies, it may in fact be risking age discrimination claims. Thousands of workers may be using the National Swine Flu Line to land themselves swine flu sickies. Government figures have shown that on Mondays, the number of people using the 24/7 hotline or its associated website to get the Tamiflu drug is more than double that of the day before. Last Sunday, about 3,500 people contacted the flu service, with the figure rising to 8,500 on Monday. The week before, the number rose from 6,500 to 16,000. A police sergeant who, due to a medical condition, cannot talk above a whisper, is suing Kent Police after failing to get a job training dogs. An employment tribunal in Ashford heard how Kent Police took no account of Catherine Gilbert's disability when considering her for the job, although the condition would have made it virtually impossible for her to command police dogs. The hearing was adjourned until next year. Keep an eye on personneltoday.com for updates on these and other stories affecting the HR community, or go to our online forum, HR Space, to add your own thoughts. Kat, you're going to tell us a little bit about vacancies and absenteeism within the NHS.
The NHS Information Centre last week published vacancy rate figures for doctors, dentists and nurses, and this showed a steep increase in the number of vacancies that are being advertised. For doctors and dentists, for example, vacancy rates increased from 1.6% to 5.2% between March 2008 and March of this year, while nursing vacancies increased from 2.5% to 3.1%. Now, medical groups and unions have told Personnel Today that workforce planning in the health service is to blame for this rise in vacancies. They said workforce planning has been too short-term focused and has been quite reactionary.
And how did the NHS react to these accusations, Kat?
Well, actually, Sian Thomas, director of the NHS Employers, admitted that some trusts had got it wrong with their workforce planning. But she said the vacancies were also due to key skills shortages and HR's use of temporary workers to create flexibility. She said, "We could get better at workforce planning and it hasn't been good in some areas. It's difficult in the NHS to workforce plan and we need to get better at doing it. If we want to have the right workforce in 20 years' time, we have to plan for that today."
Did she indicate how they might improve the workforce planning?
She indicated that the creation of foundation trusts would allow workforce planning in the future to become more localised, and that would improve it overall.
This week also saw the publication of the NHS Health and Wellbeing Review. Can you tell me a little bit about that, please?
Yeah, this was a report by Steve Borman, who's a leading occupational health expert. This interim report found 45,000 NHS workers call in sick each day, which is 1.5 times the rate of absence seen in the private sector. It also found that over a 4-week period, over 65% of NHS staff reported that they had not taken time off work despite feeling ill enough to do so. And this figure rose to a stunning 71% of qualified nurses and midwives in the 21 to 30 age group. When I spoke to Steve Borman at the release of this report, he said he felt if the NHS could get absence management right, then it would help to improve vacancy rates.
Do we know anything about what kind of illnesses or conditions are keeping people off work in the NHS?
One of the main issues affecting NHS staff is stress and then musculoskeletal problems as well. But the report also found that 1 in 5 NHS staff smoke, which is the same proportion as the adult population, with about 40,000 workers smoking more than 20 cigarettes a day. More than a third of the workforce were found to be in very poor mental health, with many expressing concern about intimidation from patients and their relatives.
Has the NHS said what they're going to do to help improve staff health?
They recommended that the NHS plays an active role in the Coalition for Better Health to identify successful strategies to reduce harmful drinking by NHS staff and their families, and that all NHS organisations should work to improve the healthiness of the food served in their restaurants and staff awareness of healthy food options, and set widely communicated targets for reducing obesity among their own staff. Steve Borman said the NHS should be able to reduce its absence by a third, which would mean reducing 10.3 million working days lost per year, saving the NHS £555 million annually.
Okay, thank you, Kat. Okay, well, the Muslim festival of Ramadan is due to start tomorrow, 22nd of August, and to last for roughly a month until the 20th of September. It's an Islamic religious observance during which participating Muslims refrain from eating, drinking, sex and smoking during daylight hours. So obviously that's going to have implications on the workplace. And it's also served as a reminder that the Equality Bill is coming up in 2011, which will extend the public sector equality duty to cover religion, meaning that public sector bodies will have to monitor employee beliefs to help promote religious equality at work in the same way that they monitor race, gender and disabilities. Personal Today spoke to Graham White earlier this week. He's the HR director at Westminster City Council. White told us employers should not wait to be asked to monitor religion. They need to get the message out to managers that there are a number of different groups who take part in celebrations across different days of the week. He was keen to emphasise that regardless of the 2011 Equality Bill, Personnel Today spoke to Graham White this week. He's the HR director at Westminster City Council. And he was keen to emphasise the need for public bodies to start monitoring staff religions early, sooner rather than later. He said employers should not wait to be asked to monitor religion. They need to get the message out to managers that there are a number of different groups who take part in celebrations across different days of the week. At Westminster, they don't yet monitor by religion, although they do have things in place, such as a calendar detailing religious events for the staff. That's regularly updated so that everyone's aware of different activities going on. The employer's forum on belief, which was set up in 2003 to promote religious equality at work, said that although not many employers are currently asking about employees' religions, and some still felt it unnecessary to disclose their beliefs, the more employers can do to understand religious events and activities, the better they will be prepared for the Equality Bill.
So what should employers be doing to prepare for Ramadan?
Well, one of the things they can do is to avoid working lunches, because obviously Muslim staff can't participate in those. They could also look into allowing Muslim staff to work through the lunch breaks in order to return home earlier. They should also remind colleagues, non-Muslim colleagues, not to place food and drink next to a fasting person's desk, and also perhaps not to expect participating Muslims to attend evening functions during Ramadan. And finally, they should be prepared for people to take between 1 and 3 days off at the end of Ramadan to celebrate Eid. There's a fuller guide on Ramadan and other religious festivals on personaltoday.com, and of course there's much more comprehensive information on our sister online resource, Expert HR. Well, that's it from this week's podcast. Thank you for listening. Remember to go online to check the latest news and views from the HR community at hrspace.co.uk. That's hrspace.co.uk. Until next week, goodbye.